Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Breaking Chain's new show, History Talk, with Dr. Lavert Kemp. So turn the broadcast up and let's break chains in our history.
Good afternoon, each and every one. May God bless and be with each and every one of you. I'm Reverend Lavert Kemp. Talk on history. First of all, I'd like to just say that our history didn't start in America during slavery. As people of the African descent and also Hebrew descent, great leaders that we came from before we ever came to America, we had a history which we have been totally wiped out from us. We're going to get into that part of the history. But before we get into that, there's so much going on right now today in the United States of America that I will speak briefly on. I will speak concerning these things. I am just pushed to talk about a statement that was used today that our president, he could not answer anything pertaining to blacks, why blacks are being beat. He could not talk about why the police, blacks suffer so much at the hands of the police, white policemen. And he said, whites do too. Just to satisfy those who he called his voting lead, that this little in crowd that vote for him, who are racist, and he make little statements to keep them following him, and he does it over and over again. I noticed that we have some of our very own people, African Americans. I can't even fathom why anyone would follow him, knowing that he has no love for them or their people. Now, I'm of the mindset, because we're going through a crisis, we're going through a pandemic. Not just we're going through the pandemic, but African Americans are fighting institutional racism, which we've been fighting for even right after Jim Crow. This is so far stretched today that we have to fight on so many lines. And then what we also have to do with, we're fighting even at home. I'm talking about we're killing one another at alarming rates. But at the same time, we're fighting against others killing us. We're fighting against outside, whether it's being ran down and shot because you're jogging in the wrong neighborhood, or you're standing on the street corner, or either you're being picked up for a simple fine for passing a bad $20 bill, which is not a felony, but it ends up in a murder. And no one is ever prosecuted for the murder of a young African American. These are the things that we're facing today. And these are things that we really need to address in our community. And I think, but I know that the truth in its totality should be fighting against injustice, just like the church should have fought against slavery. The whites are held accountable for that. Blacks are being held accountable for what's going on in our community. And we're being held accountable for, as black ministers and leaders, for not speaking out. Murder is a sin. The Bible says if we see a brother or sister at full liberty, he's spiritual, restore that person in the spirit of meekness. And said if we don't speak out, then that blood will be on our hands. Now, I want you to understand that all these things go along with the thing as being a Christian. But we fail to stand up and say the separation of church and state. Well, the church stand up for abortion rights, that's murder. But you could sit idly by and want to allow people to kill a dog, but it's okay to kill a young African-American male or female. I find fault with that. I find heavy fault with that, that a human being could be killed and no one says anything. But go have a dog fight. You know, people have lost their livelihood, Michael Vick, about fighting dogs. But you could see a black person killed down in the street. And for some reason, whites can never find fault with it. And I'm not speaking about all whites. What I'm talking about the majority, but when I'm speaking about it, for those who are Caucasian and don't speak up or stand up for injustice done to African Americans, you're guilty too. You're enabling someone to perpetrate their evil and sinful acts. Call a sin a sin, if that's what you need to call it for our preachers to stand up, that our pastors and bishops to stand up instead of just trying to get a collection plate, but stand up for the people and their community, because the church has always been, the church has always been the backbone of the African-American community. And for that, I ask the church to start standing up. Also, with the COVID, let us now and not pay any attention to our president, who have no knowledge whatever about disease, infectious disease. But he silenced Dr. Fauci, who's the head epidemiologist. They want us to send our kids back to school. But you want us to send the kids back to school, but there have been a spike, in the COVID virus. And what I'm saying is, in different states, it's at an all-time high. The governor of Florida is not doing anything. And Dade County, and you know Dade County is mainly Hispanic and black, or Cuban and black. You know they're not going to do anything to help because they don't care because he's dying. Houston the same way. Houston, Texas. Dallas, Texas. Los Angeles, California. Areas like Arizona. Smaller places. Arkansas. Mississippi. Louisiana. All are spiking with these conditions. Let us wear our masks. Let us be smart. So many people claim to be Christian, but Isaiah says that we are to go into the innermost part and to stay there until the plague passes by. But we believe in the Bible, and so the very same person that tells you to believe in the Bible don't believe in it in themselves. I'm talking about these big-time evangelical, white evangelicals. Evidently, don't, because they don't mind blacks being killed, but they could speak out about abortion whenever. I never hear them tell about, like, Black Lives Matter. They go on their tirade. Well, I'm gonna stop talking about that now because it's time for us to stop talking and vote. It's time for us to take action. And when I'm talking about taking action, I mean it's time for us to go register people to vote in alarming numbers. Let's shake up America. Let's shake up the world when they hear about how many of us turned out to vote come November. And let's get rid of this misogynist, xenophobic, racist bigot who is our president, who's acting as a president, because there's nothing presidential about this man. This man is really a dummy who's not qualified to be anything. And oftentimes we listen at about all the things he filed for bankrupt so many times. He owed so many people money where he didn't pay people that worked for. If you only find out everything that he put his hand to is a failure, whether if it's his airline, if it's his college, if it's different buildings, his gambling casinos, and all these things are failed. They really were a failure. So not to say that this man is such a very good businessman, because so many of the things that he endeavored were failures. Amen. Now let's look at history of the black folk, black men of Africa. And I would like to say, since we're in America, so many Americans here today are Hebrews. The black are black Hebrews, and don't allow anyone to tell you that so many of the black, I can't say who are, how to differentiate who are the Africans or who are the Hebrews, because they're the same color and they favor. But what I can tell you is that there were big cities and areas that were more advanced than any place that ever existed during the time, and what I'm trying to say is, comparing Europe, trying to compare Europe to Africa, is saying like the Europeans 5,000-6,000 years ago, maybe. Going back to 8,000 years ago, sleeping in caves, and there were people building stone houses and houses of stone. Our homes were not built of mud. What you see on television this today is it's a way that Europeans do to belittle Africa. Africa is the cradle of civilization. If I would say this, I would have to tell every white person that everybody is from Africa. Now, we may look different, but everyone is from Africa. Yeah, that's why the origin of man happened from Africa. So when you're talking about it, you're talking about the original man came from Africa. The original man was of dark skin. That's why when you talk to your geneticist, you'll find out. And it's important that we start taking our books. And we have time right now. I like to say this. We have ample time to study our Bible. We have ample time to go back and study our genealogy. Go and take your laptop or your tablet or whatever you use to study with, even a phone, your telephone, and look up black Israelites. Go back and study your Bible and find out what different names in the Bible mean. Who were the blacks in the Bible? And when you go back in Bible times and you ask these questions, you will find out that so much of the Bible deals with these names. so many people that played important roles in our Bible were from these tribes. Now, it's important that when we look at things, we say, well, if the origin of man started in Africa, thus the Bible says that it started in Africa, and I'm glad that someone would like to know that. Yes, it did. You say, well, I've heard that it started around Saudi Arabia. I heard it started on the other side of Babylon, around the Euphrates and the Tigris River. Well, that's two of the rivers that they use for the Garden of Eden in your Bible. But there are two more rivers that they talk, the Gihon and the Pishon. The Gihon and the Pishon. And your scholars today and even scholars back then say the Gihon and the Pishon. And if you look where the rivers ran around Egypt and Ethiopia and Somalia, you know those are on the African continent. So the garden was a large area that encompassed a large area to have every animal that exists there. Every animal, every insect. So it couldn't just be in a small area that we might think was the garden. So it took up a large area of space. But if you get a chance to look up what is the Gihon River and what is the Pishon River, and you'll find out exactly where I'm coming from. Now, it says that when he did that, when God made Adam, and another thing I'd like to just like to say. Now, I know that the Bible is the infallible, inerrant word of God. The Bible declares to us that man was created from the dirt, dust of the earth, or the dirt of the earth. I've never seen white dirt. And I've never seen it around the Nile. Around the Nile River, the dirt is black. Different everywhere, so fertile is black dirt. So I've never seen it unless they had bleached back then and bleached the dirt white. Now, this is your own Bible which make these statements. Now, if you go even further and you go into it and you begin to study your Bible, and you get to the part that talks about Noah. It gets to Noah, and it talks about Noah having three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, it's really incumbent upon to tell you that's where you really get your teaching starting at that 10th chapter of the book of Genesis, when it started talking about the sons of Ham, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, the first thing I want you to understand is that it talks about, it starts in Genesis, the sons of Ham. They say Cush was his son, Mitherim was his son, Put, and then it talks about Canaan. They say Cush was Sheba, Havilah, and I noticed that they talk about the Pishon, one of the rivers in the garden, encompassed the whole land of Havilah. And that which is Cush, that means it's Ethiopia. Tabitha, Rama, and Sabi, Ticha, and the son of Rama, Sheba, and Dedan, and Cush begot Nimrod, and Nimrod became the mighty one on earth. And that's the one God said he was a mighty one on earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. That's in your Bible. And now we know that Ham is black, because even if you would look it up in your Bible dictionary, specifically Zondervan Compact Bible Dictionary, you'll find that they said that Ham is the progenitor of the dark race. I mean, he's the father of the African race. Well, if he's the progenitor of the African race, which was Ethiopia during that time, and Egypt was black, and then they had Libya, which is Put. and Canaan, which is now Canaan, which would be the Holy Land. All of that was North Africa. Right where Jerusalem, what we call the Holy Land, was the land of Canaan. All this is in your Bible. And that Canaan was the grandson of Ham, the black man. So you can't take these things away after it's written. Now, after we did it, it talked about how Christian Nimrod was mighty upon the earth, and God called him a knight, a mighty hunter before God. Wherefore it is said that even Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord, and the beginning of, now they say the beginning of his kingdom was from Babel, Erech, Akkad, Calcutta, Imba, and the land of Shinar. Now, I want you to understand, now listen at that, the land of Shinar. Now, the land of Shinar is around where they call the Sumerians. That goes back down to where Abraham came from. Now, if Abraham came from the area of the land of what they call Nimrod, and Nimrod is black, so you know who Abraham was. But I'm going to go a little bit further with that, and I'm going to come back to that because I was talking about something earlier. It's important that when we think about it, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, they say Japheth was the father of the white race. They said that Shem is the father, Shem, or that's why they say Semite, Shem was the father of the Hebrew race. But now, I was telling you earlier about, and I deviated, about Zondervan Compact Bible Dictionary. If you can look at things that I say, you go back and you study it behind me. Zondervan Compact Bible Dictionary, when you look up Ham and it says about him being a progenitor of the dark race, but they say it and they give it, they put Cush, Metherum, and it talks about Egypt, Ethiopia, and Libya, and Cyrene, and but then it say, but not the Negro. Something was left out. If he's not the progenitor of Japheth, which is the Caucasian race, I'm not going to say white because they only became white. And with that 1681, the word term white began to be used only in America. There was notice that European people of European descent. But If you pay close attention to that definition, when you read it, it's going to say that Ham was the father of the dark race, but not the Negro. And you've always been called a Negro. So if the Negroes are not Hamites and they're not Japheth from the tribe of Japheth, then who are they? They're the Shemites, who you call your Hebrew Israelites. Okay? You do the look this information up yourself. It's in Zondervan Compact Bible Dictionary. A look up Zondervan Bible Dictionary in the compact. But nevertheless, it talks about the land of Nimrod when they used the term Shinar. Shinar. And Shinar, and I used to come there. That some say was the Ethiopian civilization. When I looked up in the World Modern Nations about close to 5,000 years ago. But then I even looked further because they call them Sumerian. And Sumerian were the same thing of Ethiopian race. And then I began and I asked these questions about the Sumerian. I asked, what color were they? I did this through Google. And it said they were chocolate. They were a chocolate race with stoop noses, thick black hair. Then I looked at the Assyrians and seeing how they have these little curled up, mappy like beards and hair all twisted up. And I thought about it. These are the people that lived there and who came from there. And then I went even further and I began to study the Bible. And as I studied the Bible, as I went through it, I had to look up different things. And looking it up, I found out in writing my thesis for my master's, I found out that all the roles that blacks played in the Bible. Now, this had the Tower of Babel, and I just didn't know that Abraham came from Ur of the Chaldees around Mesopotamia. That was during that time. It was considered the land of Nimrod and Ethiopian civilization and the land of Shinar. Now, I started thinking, and Japheth went up at the Tower of Babylon. Japheth went up. Shem and Ham stayed right around the same area. They stayed right around the same area. Shem and Ham. And what I found out, while I know they were the same dark-skinned people, as I began to research, Abraham was taken to be an Egyptian. Only his customs and his attire made him to be different. But going further, you will find out that not just about Abraham, but Abraham first childbearing wife was Hagar, which was an Egyptian woman, Ethiopian woman, who bare him Ishmael. And so many people have said that Ishmael is the progenitor of the Muslim group or the Arab. But now, as I continue to study, and this is the reason I'm saying this, because there are more Christians, about 3 billion Christians in the world today, who have been lied to, who Europeans have put a picture of a white person for being Abraham, Moses, Adam, Eve, and scientists, none of it ever said anything that they write. Europeans have twisted history so bad thing, and it's alive. And I'll say it like this, from the pits of hell, the way that they've twisted history and made everybody white. Anything worth anything is white. You wouldn't believe that the Bible was really written in North Africa. It would be heartfelt to believe that the Bible, matter of fact, the only white people that's in really in the Holy Land area right now is those who they put there in 1948, who they call Jews and who are not. First of all, I could take you back to Genesis, the 10th chapter, and go about Japheth's grandson had a grandson named Ashkenaz, and they call themselves Ashkenaz Jews. But first of all, you can't be Israelite or Hebrew or whatever they want to call a Jew if you came off Japheth. Japheth is a Caucasian. That means you're from around Russia, Caucasia, and you were just like you was more or less like a gypsy. And then the next group that's over in the Holy Land today, so they are not real Israelites. So now the next group that's over in Israel today are not. They're called Khazars. They're from north of Turkey, around the Baltic Sea. So they're really not. They're from out Jason. And then you also have what they call the Sofans. And they really are Portuguese, from Portuguese. Portugal. From Spain. That's who lives in the Holy Land now. Do look it up. You'll find out. And then you'll find out that Ashkenaz is the son or grandson of Japheth. You have to be from the lineage of Shem to be an Israelite. a Hebrew. The covenant God made was with Israel, not Japheth, Abraham, but with Israel, the Hebrew. Now, I want us to really look into this, because so many lies have been written, but there are books out now that will tell the truth. And if you want to look into things, you can look up during the time, and we're going to talk about it, because we need to make certain things real clear. In my research, I found out that we have to learn the names of different groups of people in the Bible to know who's black. What names to look for when I want to know about somebody being black? I need to know about Sodom, or you can spell it Sodom, G-O-D-O-N, or Put, Metherin, Jabez, Hivite, Hittite, Heth, Cushite, Cushite, Cushan, Amorite. When we start looking at all these different names that are called off, when you're looking at them, those were really blacks. And that's, you're going to read about them all the way through your Bible. You're going to study all the way through your Bible. So when you get ready to look at or find the part that talks about in Genesis about the descendants of Ham and the genealogy of Ham, as it talks about his children and grandchildren, and you'll find out about exactly who it is. Now, it talks about in the beginning of the kingdom of Babel, Erech, Akkad, Talmai. Now, this deals with the original Hebrew, the Shemite. Say they were from around Sinon, that the land that the Assyrians are the Nineveh and the city of Rehob and Calah. Now, remember, some of these same names were used with Nimrod. Now, when we go further and find out about, we're going to move a little bit now to Abraham, and Abraham had Hagar, and Hagar, she was a black lady. And then now I want you to look back, never look at Abraham as being Caucasian, because he was never Caucasian. That's only been portrayed by whites who interpret the Bible. And I want you to really understand what I'm about to tell you. He who writes the narrative, in other words, he who writes the story, makes it the way they want it to be, make the people look the way they look. You would swear that there was no blacks nowhere in that land during that time. And that's the way it's been looked. See, as we look deeper into research, you'll find Abraham was a native of the Chaldea city of Ur. And, in 1884 edition of the Family Bible by Byrd and Dillon contained the identical book of King James Version with additional texts, the Apocrypha, Judah, Tobit, Esther, and the Wisdom of Solomon, Burke, and the prayers of Manasseh, king of Judah, and the first and second book of the Maccabees, etc. It states clearly that the book of Judah, that Abraham was a descendant of the Chaldeans. And if he was a descendant of the Chaldeans, the builder of the Chaldeans were Nimrod, were Hamitic people. Their race, now the building of the Chaldeans, now listen at this, the building of the Chaldeans was a Hamitic race, language, civilization, archaeological discoveries of rocks, written annals and cuneiform, then ancient records have conclusively demonstrated that the Hamitic Negroes were the earliest settlers of Ur. Now, this is where Abraham came from. This is written in not blacks' writing, but this is in the writings that other whites have really written. The African Ethiopian Empire had for ages dominated Ur. Chaldeans were also a mixture of Semitic and Hamitic. Those were of pure African Ethiopian breed, Hamitic race. Those were mixed a strong Negro feature. The early Semites and Hamites possessed deep dark skin, woolly hair. Now listen at this. If one of them had yellow or white hair found among the ancient Semites or Hebrews, they were feared they were socially shunned. In other words, if they were albino kids, they, during that time, during the 4,000 years ago, they were socially shunned because they were a dark skin race of people. But if they had yellow, and you know, yellow hair is blonde hair, they were socially shunned. And you can find this even in our Bible, in Leviticus 13:16:6, Genesis 10:15-23, 7:20, and etc. Now, let us not forget, Abraham, the father of the Hebrew race, fathered a son by Hagar, and she was an African, his servant. And I told you about that being Ishmael. Now, we're going to go to Moses. Now, you remember Moses. Now, with Moses, we're going to go to Joseph first, because I have to explain how Moses got where he was at. Joseph, there's a story in the book about Joseph. Abraham had Isaac had Jacob and Esau, who were twins who wrestled in the womb. The first one to come out was Esau. The second one was Jacob. Jacob stole his brother's birthright, but God blessed him and told him from him would come a great nation, and that all nations would be blessed through him. Now, I want you to understand this. That's part of your Abrahamic covenant. He had 12 sons. When you study, you're going to find out that Jacob's name was changed from Jacob to Israel. That's why we call them the children of Israel, because their race or ethnic group they came from, which would be Hebrew, but they were called Israelites. And it was 12 brothers. And as you study it, you'll find out that they went to Joseph being born was the love child. When Joseph was born, the father made him a coat of many colors and loved that one son more than he loved the other. And the other 11 brothers were jealous, and they decided to kill Joseph. They put Joseph in a pit because of the older brother told him, no, we can't kill him. They put him in a pit. Well, when they put Reuben, which was the older brother, they put him in a pit, and they say Midianites, which is in Ethiopia, were traveling through. And they got him out of the pit and enslaved him. And they took him, the Midianites and the Egyptians, Matherin, they were brothers, they traded together, and they sold Joseph to slave to Potiphar. Potiphar was the governor, and he ended up working in his house. But anyway, he ended up as a servant, but Potiphar's wife said that Joseph tried to rape her, which he didn't. She looked up on Joseph because he was a good-looking young black man. And both of them in Egypt, they were black too, and had him put in prison. In prison, he interpreted the dream, and he ended up getting out because he interpreted the dream. He told the king about the famine was going to come and to store up grain. And nevertheless, the famine hit the land where his brothers that sold him into bondage came. And they had to go to Egypt to look to try to buy food. When they got to Egypt to buy food, they didn't know that their brother had been lifted up to second in charge only to the king. He was the governor of the province. Well, when they got there, now I want you to pay close attention, and when you read the story of Joseph, the brothers didn't know who Joseph was. They really thought Joseph was an Egyptian. If the Egyptian were black and the Israelites were taken, where people took the Israelites for being Egyptian, they had to be black. And then after that, my wife was watching. Joseph married a son of Potiphar's daughter, who was Egyptian, was black. From that came two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. Off of Ephraim came Joshua. Now it goes deeper while they were still there, but after a while, its times changed and they populated so fast until they were put into slavery, because the Egyptians said that the Hebrews, which came in 70, would outpopulate them, the black Hebrews. And so they put them in bondage in Egypt. Now, I know when you see it on television, Egypt is white and the Hebrews are white, and during that time, none were white. That's just another lie that was made up by Europeans and made for television. So now you find out that Joseph could pass for an Egyptian because his own brothers didn't know who he was when they came to buy food from him. They thought he was Egyptian. And then he married an Egyptian, which was black, and black make black. Now, I'm about to tell you that Dr. Mendel, Professor Mendel, top botanist geneticist, will tell you that dark, black skin is a dominant, from dominant genes. You can't get nothing from black but black. I mean, you could. If black is a dominant gene, you can get white from it because you could have albino. But white is a recessive gene, which is a lower gene. It's a recessive. You could get the recessive from the dominant, but you can't get the dominant from the recessive. Two white individuals can't have a black baby, but two blacks could have a white baby, which would be an albino, the lack of melanin. Could have a Caucasian baby. Now, you can look that up, and that look up under Gregoire Mendel, Mendel's Law. And if you know, look up the definition dominant and recessive. Now, a lot of people don't like to deal with that term because they will say it's been racist. The dominant really comes from being more pure, and when you get your recessive, whites are really is a mutation from a dark-skinned person and went to Europe and mutated and lost the skin color and the texture of the hair. Eyes changed by the weather and the climate and area which they live. That's not Dr. Kemp. That's not any other black, but that comes from Gregoire Mendel, Professor Leakey, and others who made their discovery. Okay. Now, in all the other parts, we're going to get to Moses. After Joe, we're going to get to Moses. And I'm going to show you something. We're going to get to Moses. Where Moses, that was a decree. Now they're in bondage. Now they're slaves. They're already in bondage in Egypt. Moses' mother name was Jochebed. And his sister is Miriam. Well, his mother made a basket woven and put pitch, that's like cloth, and put him in the water because the king had decreed that all children, babies up to 2 years old or just fresh off the birth stool were to be put to death because a redeemer was supposed to have been coming for the Hebrew children. Instead of killing her child, Jochebed made a I call it an ark, and put Moses in the basket. And Moses, being put in the ark, the king's daughter, now listen to that, the king's daughter took Moses out of the water in the Nile. And she raised him in her house as her son. Now, if Egypt is black and if the Hebrews were white, the king would have known that that wasn't his grandchild, or would have known that that was a Hebrew baby if Hebrews were white, but they were not. All of them were black. Ancient Jews were so black that many Romans mistook them for Ethiopians or Africans. Now, I want you to now watch this. Now, listen at this. Moses was raised as his grandson. So he had to pass for being black or dark skinned. When Moses ended up killing the Egyptian, he ran off to the land of Midian, and there he met his wife, Zipporah, who her and her sister were watering sheep. Now, listen at this. They were watering sheep. And when they went back, they told him, they said, well, look, you watering these sheep, but some other guy came up, wasn't allowing them to get the sheep water. But Moses came and stood up for them with these guys and allowed them to water the sheep. And when they went back, the father wanted to know, why did they get back so early? Were they able to water the sheep? And they said, yeah, an Egyptian helped them. Now, remember what I told you in Genesis 10, whites left out of the Bible and went to Europe. Yeah, so for thousands of years, for over 1,000+ years, you're not going to hear about whites in the Bible, that white left and went to witchcraft. Back during the time when Jacob had those 12 sons, Jacob, one of his sons married a black girl, a Canaanite girl. Her name was Tamar. It was Shua, a Canaanite, the father of Tamar. That was Judah, which Jesus came from. That was his daughter-in-law. But now let me tell you the story about this. If they were dark complexion, if the Hebrews were black, and they interbreeding with another Canaanite people, which were black, black and black make black, or brown and brown. I say black, but really brown. Brown and brown make brown. Now, some of the Sudanese people are really black. Now, let us keep in mind in our study of the Bible that Jesus was a descendant of Judah. Watch this. Tamar married Judah's, but Judah's son was evil. And God took him away. And the other one didn't want to marry him. He was taken away. So she was put back away until she was to go and hold him and not marry anybody until the youngest son got old enough to marry Tamar. That was a lot of their hair. But she dressed up like a harlot on the side of the road, and when her father-in-law, Judah, was walking by, he saw her dressed up like a harlot. He gave her his ring and his staff to have sex with her, intercourse. She was pregnant, and the next time when Judah saw her, he didn't recognize her because she was there. And he saw she was pregnant. He wanted to get her stoned because it was against that she be stoned. But when she gave him his signet ring back and gave him his staff, he knew that that was his baby. But she was pregnant with twins. And from that relationship between Judah and his daughter-in-law, they had two kids, Zerah and Perez. Now, through Jacob's grandson, Perez, you're going to find out Matthew put him as being part of Jesus' genealogy. Now, let us continue to play close attention to the cross-breeding of Hebrew and blacks throughout the Bible. It is easy to understand that black on black make black, dark plus dark equal dark. We have been told for many years that we are inferior, we are a cursed, lower form of human being, that we have been mistreated just as the Hebrews of ancient times. In studying the Holy Bible, we find the cross-breeding between Hebrews and Hamites went on despite all of the laws of Deuteronomy. Such restrictions about intermarriage existed at the time of the religious reason, not race. It was religious reason to keep them from going off and following other gods. The British historian and geographical struggle stated that during his lifetime, it was not unusual for his term to think that a Jew or an Israelite was of African descent. Strobel went on to say that Jews living in the Western Judah were mostly African, Egyptian. The Roman tax leader supported Strobel by saying Jews were Ethiopians. I know that looks different today, but those are the names that I call these names out. Now, I want you to pay close attention, because when you study this and you find out this, all this were none of these were blacks, but all of these were whites. He stated that these people who they were talking about Strobel practices and the others who wrote about it, and they will tell you in that time they all thought that the Hebrews were Ethiopians or were black workers. Even to this day, if you go back and read what they had to say, you'll find out, like Tacitus, I told you, he started Strobo, And now he was a Greek historian. Trouble, S-T-R-A-B-A. He stated that. And there have been even the Roman Tacitus, T-A-C-I-T-E-S, he even said it, that the Jews, the Israelites, they thought they were, he noted them as being of African descent. Now, I told you about Moses and I told you about the. Now, I want to tell you, now, a lady name I just named, who she was black, was Tamar, and she was a Canaanite, and that means she was off the ham. Now, I want you to understand about her. Was Jesus one of Jesus in Jesus' genealogy? If you read Matthew, you'll find out that that is part of Jesus' genealogy. Her name is used in his genealogy. Okay, it's used in his genealogy. So many people that's used in Jesus' genealogy were of African descent or African origin. Now, going into it, I just told you about Moses. And I told you that Joshua was a descendant of Ephraim, who Joseph passed for an Egyptian. Joseph's wife was an Egyptian. But now it's incumbent upon us to state the fact that even Joshua. Now, you know they talk about the walls of Jericho and it came tumbling down. See, we started long before we came to America. And long time before Jesus' birth, they had people that took up the sea, the Atlantic, and came to America around Mexico and South America. Called the Olmec people, O-L-M-E-C, Olmec people. Now, if we need to look these things up, it's time for us not to be ignorant and led astray about the movements that's being made, and we're left out of all history and everything else, and that's what's so bad about it. We need to understand and we need to know that Semitic graduate through Herod and the Phoenicians are black Ethiopian Jews of this day. Stop it in other language which may be well studied in Dr. Beck's valuable comparative table into Argonne tone are unequivocally indigenous to Abyssinia. Abyssinians, those are the people from right around Ethiopia. And this is what you're talking about, different Hebrew tongues. This into the true Negro class, but unequivocally as many of the Semitic elements of the Baka, Coptic, of the call, and we have some of them that's here today that was in South Carolina, Gala people, and Cochran, and Gullah. And the people spoke a Gullah tongue. Some of the slaves came to Gullah, spoke a Gullah tongue. And they have affinities with the tongue of Western South Africa, or more so. The Bible teaches that those who will become Jews enter Egypt 70 and left out 400 years later. 600,000 men, when Moses left out, 600,000 men, not counting women and children, if you give every man a wife, one per 1,200,000, give them three kids, you got over 3 million people who left out with Moses. And even during the time, just as these people were already, now, it is incumbent upon me to say this to you. We have been in America for 400 years, and as slaves, the master and other whites raped slave girls, and you can find blacks from every color under heaven. See, in 400 years of enslavement in the United States, it would be very hard to find a pure African. This transpired through crossbreeding of slave and master. This is why today we have so many blacks that look white. You could call African Americans a rainbow, from the lightest color of the spectrum to the darkest color of the spectrum. This happened with the Jews in Egypt. They came into bondage in Egypt with a dark skin color and left even darker because they're interbreeding with the Egyptians. Now, I want you to understand, even today, and I want you to pay close attention to the people in Africa. Africa comes in all different colors, pure African. All Africans are not like Sudanese, who are so dark as really what you would call black. They are not. They have Africans who are brown. There are Africans, some of the Ethiopians, not the original Ethiopians are Nubians, but some, and they're from right around the Sudan. But they have some of them that are brown skinned. They're not white, but they are brown. They're caramel color. And if you look at different whites that live on the eastern coast of Africa, most of those have printed almost nose that's similar to the nose of a Caucasian. Now, I want to say, so don't think that all blacks had wide suit noses, because that's not true. Different areas of Africa, because Africa is broken down. Africa is the continent, but there are so many different nations within the continent of Africa. You could put the United States, maybe South America, and another continent inside of the continent of Africa. Africa covers so much land. Sometimes you only look at it drawn up on a map and it don't show you the size of Africa. Africa covers a large amount of land. Now, Dr. William Moseley, who wrote What Color Was Jesus, along with many other scholars, support the fact that Mr. Moseley writes, so if the original Hebrews were not white stock, we may conclude that the original Israelites considered more black at the time of the Exodus than present-day Israelites. Furthermore, the historical records state that ancient Israel, Egypt, and Ethiopia were not only close geographically. Now, this is written in books now. But they were also close socially, culturally, economically, and politically. Both sacred and secular writings describe the presence of Ethiopian people in Egypt and Israel from the Exodus to the birth of Jesus Christ. Now let us answer the question, if Hebrews were people of color, why did the Bible not state this fact? Why did King James in his translation omit the fact that the Ethiopian and Egyptian were black? It is the nature of the Bible translators to make the word of God clear to the intended reader. Translators read the original language in which the Bible was written, Hebrew in the Old Testament and Greek in the New. They translate these languages into the language of their intended reader. This process of translation allows the translator's opinion or interpretation. So when they translated King James and others translated the Bible, they interpreted it in the way they would like it, and it's easy to the ease into the translation, whether good or bad. King James of England in the 17th century was familiar with Africa, but refused to clarify different terms. He knew about it. He knew about the term Ethiopia. Didn't matter. He and did to get the image of a black person to an English reader, white mind, but it imagined a white person in blackish color due to that. Some had hair texture was different, and we've all come with different texture, hair, and skin color. The geographic location of modern-day Ethiopian people. Why? Simply because the King James translator refused to identify Africans who they held as slaves with the African written about in the Bible. Now, let's continue to research. What color was the original Hebrew Jew? There is a tribe of people in Ethiopia called Phoenicia. Webster Dictionary defined Phoenicia as a member of the historical Cushitic speaking people of central Ethiopia. Practice a form of Judaism. We find again Webster Dictionary hides the fact that Ethiopians are black. Furthermore, they refuse to recognize the Ethiopian places as the tribe of Judah. We realize that Abraham came from the Ethiopian settlement in Ur. Science and history verify this fact. The Bible and history tells us that Jews, Ethiopians, and Egyptian and Ethiopian married one another. When will this society realize that blacks are not ignorant people? Now that we have been somewhat introduced to the term Phoenicia, my intent is to give the facts on this subject. Now listen close to this now. For years, they wanted to say these black people were not Jews. And I will present you quotes from several different newspapers and articles to support this. New York Times, Thursday, February the 4th, 1971. Edward B. Fisco, Ambora, Ethiopia, January the 14th, 5,000 acres of wilderness in a malaria-infested lowland of northwestern Ethiopia are becoming something of a 20th century promised land for 25,000 black Phoenician Jews. The Phoenicians, whose primitive form of Judaism survived more than 2,000 years in isolation from other Jews, live here in Ambora and other nearby villages where they earn meager living as sharecroppers, potters, and metal workers. Now that's, now that's in the New York Times. If you want to look up that, it's the New York Times, Thursday, February the 4th, and it was by Edward B. Fisco. F-I-S-K-O. Now, the London Jewish Chronicle in April of 1973, Chief Rabbi Yosef officially recognized Phoenicia, talking about these Ethiopians, as Jews. Rabbi Obadiah Yosef and Serpadiah, Chief Rabbi of Israel, has given rabbinical ruling that the Phoenicia of Ethiopia are Jews, and have accepted their claim that they are the descendants of the tribe of Dan. Now, the descendants of Dan mean that that's the tribe Samson came from. You remember, you know, Samson was the one that started the dreadlocks. You see a whole lot of the Rastafarians and others today in America have these dreadlocks. Samson was the first one with the dreadlocks. Rabbi Yosef also accepted the precedence of a public council on behalf of the Phoenicians, of whom that there are some 26,000 in Ethiopia, calling themselves Beta Israel, in a letter dated February the 9th, 1973, Rabbi Yosef wrote Obadiah Hazard and spoke on behalf of some of the Jews of Ethiopia and Israel, informing him of his ruling. After quoting a number of prominent religious leaders who had earlier ruled that the Phoenicians were Jews, including the late Rabbi Abraham Kalb, Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Palestine, and the late Rabbi Yitzhak Herzog, Ashkenazi chief rabbi of Israel, Rabbi Yosef continued, "I have therefore come to the conclusion that the Phoenicians are descendants of the tribe of Israel who went southward to Ethiopia, and there is no doubt that the above sage who established that they, the Phoenicians, are of the tribe of Dan, investigated, inquired, and reached this conclusion on the basis of the most reliable witness and evidence. It is my highest wish that my theory has been proved." That is the fact. These have been written in New York papers and other places that these are different Ethiopians are the tribe of Dan. We can even go even further in relating to things. We know that Moses, passed. We know Joshua had to be of African descent because who his mother was. We know about different ones. We know about Tamar. Now, even going further, it is well known that all through the Bible, and as I alluded to earlier, when you begin to look at your Bible and you go back to the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, Japheth, which is the progenitor, the father of the Caucasian or white race, but they call it a white now, but Caucasian or even a European. Race left the Bible in the 11th chapter of Genesis. This is before Abraham came on the scene. This is before Abraham came. Now, if you do your math, Abraham was maybe 1,500 years or more before, 1,800 years before Christ. Close to 2,000 years before Christ was Abraham. So you talking about they almost have almost close to about 1,800 years, almost 1,800 years where they were not in the Bible, where whites were not in the Bible. I know at least 1,500 years they were not present in the Bible throughout the Old Testament. But have you ever noticed that all Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, Joshua, everybody is white. But yet, they came from North Africa. Because during that time, the land was joined together. It wasn't until 120 years ago, that the land became not joined together. They built the Suez Canal, just like down in South America, they have the Panama Canal in Panama, which separate the land, the land was joined together. And both of them run on the same Titanic plate, you know, like that, that runs straight down from Africa throughout the Holy Land. These are the same people. So when we begin to look at certain things and we ask ourselves the question and we start reading the Bible with comprehension, and I don't know why some of our different, and it's okay, and I understand. Some whites tell us now that we shouldn't worry about what color. Okay, we shouldn't worry about what color was Jesus. We should not worry about what color was Jesus. But if you tell them, well, let us start putting a black face in Jesus. Let us start having a black Christmas face, a baby, black man in a barn. That would not go, that movie will not sell. That's because how racist America is, it would not sell. And they know it's more true than having a white man. Believe me, they know those historians, those archaeologists, anthropologists, they know who lived in what area and what time. You know, we look at it and the first person that was called the priest of the Most High God, well, was Melchizedek in your Bible. When you look up that name Melchizedek, Melchizedek was the high priest of the king of Salem. Salem would be Jerusalem today, which was a Canaanite place. But he knew God back then. Abraham, we find, paid tithe to giving them Melchizedek, a tenth of the spoil from the king of the Catalomas. And scholars write there, Melchizedek was much like Jesus. Both were high priests and had faith in the Most High God. Jesus also broke bread and water. There's also no record of Melchizedek's birth or death of his parents. Melchizedek lived among Hamite descendants as high priest of an Amorite, were known as great black warriors and descendants of Canaan. Now, they were descendants of Canaan. That means they lived right there where Jerusalem is, and they were noticed as warriors. And that was during the time of Abraham. So when we begin to learn these things, and these are biblical things, but for some reason, everybody have been whitewashed. I mean, it's just so simple in today's language. And, you know, I'm reminded of the fact ever so often. This was written in 1952. And I, those who are listening, write this down. Those who are listening, Gamal Abdel Nasser. Gamal Abdel Nasser, speech in 1952. If you want to find out what color were the original Hebrews or Israelites, Gamal Abdel Nasser, you could do it, you could Google it. His speech in 1952 when he addressed the UN. What he said, these are his words. And this is why, because see, in 1948, those who live in the Holy Land, the whites that live in the Holy Land, who say that they are Israel, the Jews, and who are not real Jews, he pulled the cover off the Egyptian, tell the truth about them, and let you know that they are not real Israelites. They are not. And this is exactly what he said. Gamal Abdel Nasser, he was president before Anwar Sadat was president. He said, we, the Arab League, refuse to accept these Hebrew-speaking Gentiles. How can a man leave black and come back white? We refuse to accept them. In other words, he said the real Hebrews and the Egyptians know the real Hebrew were black. But now all of a sudden you put white people on our continent. How can this be? That now... That has been taught throughout. And these are things that this is true. But we get our news and our history from people who enslaved us. We get our news and our history from people who wanted you to have an inferior and want to have white supremacy over the world.
So I want us to begin to start reading. I want us to start become reading with understanding, not just reading, but studying. Even the Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly divide the word of truth. We have been told the incorrect word. We have been taught that we are nobody, and that's far from the truth. If anything, we are the people who God set first, the predestined, and we are the origin of mankind. And even the geneticists of the American, the geneticists of the European, and the archaeologists, anthropologists of these countries, they know who you are. But do you know who you are? So many of black Hebrew Israelites came to America on slave ship. That's why I asked you to look at Zondervan Bible Dictionary, and they tell you that the Negroes are not the descendants of Ham, and you know you're not the descendants of Japheth, so that only leaves you, and they didn't say who the descendants of Shem were. We know Shem was the brown people, or the black people. We know who they are. We know that they married with Africans. We know so much about this. And we know that so many, then I just said that about Gullah. They sent some people to Gullah, like Igbo and others to Gullah. They sent Igbo from the west coast of Africa slave. And a lot of them went to Carolina and Virginia. And they spoke a language was called Gullah. And that Gullah is almost like a Hebrew, broken Hebrew tongue. And they didn't want any more Igbos to come to America because they were very defiant. They didn't make good slaves because they would rebel. So most of them, so after so many of them came, and they would sell them from around the tobacco farm down to the sugarcane farm in Louisiana and the cotton fields of Texas and Mississippi, Alabama area. So a lot of people in those areas are part of Igbo background, or either Yoruba, Ghana, the slave trade area. And you don't know what your DNA goes, because we're the only race of people don't know who we truly are. And that was by design. I really believe that was by design. Because when you don't know who you are, it's hard for you to pick up the pieces and to move forward. But I beseech you to learn more of yourself. Study. And now we're going to just leave it open. Any questions that need to be asked about self-examination, about our history. I'll go further into the history of the slavery time, but I wanted to discuss it way before slavery, because we have such a rich history before slavery. All right. Reverend William, we take the questions now.
All right. God bless you, Dr. Kim. What a wonderful show. Thank you for that history. The lines are now open. If anyone out there that are listening have a question, comment, or a statement for Dr. Kim, the line is open for you now. You are free to ask those questions or make the statements. God bless you. Good evening and welcome to the show. The line is open for you. All right, Dr. Kemp, no one is responding. They're listening, but that's a good thing. I'm taking their notes. I'm taking my notes. So thank you very much, everyone, for listening in tonight. Anytime that you have any questions, Dr. Kemp is available here every Tuesday, and you can drop us an email at Young Adults Talk, Young Adults with an S, talk@gmail.com, and we'll definitely get the questions over to him. Thank you very much. Okay, Dr. Kemp.
Yeah, before we leave, I just wanted to admonish each and every one to each one reach one. Get out, reach one person. If it's about 48 to 50 million blacks, if only 20 million blacks would go and reach another black, that would be 40 million. The vote. Let's get out. Pick them up. Take them to the voting poll. If they can't read, help them to vote. We need you. We need you to get out and go vote. We need to vote 45 out. He need to leave. We can't put up with this man who will start wars. This man lied. Everything almost come out of his mouth is a lie. We need him out. And I want us to start, those who are, I have nothing against white folk, period, Caucasians. I have nothing against them. But what I do want to do is uplift and to build pride in our people by telling the truth, because America and Caucasians in America and Europe will not tell you the truth about exactly what happened. They won't tell you the truth about, they'll tell you the way it was. The slave was so docile of people. That's not true. The slave rebelled many, many times. There are books that will tell you all the rebellions that were slave rebelled. There are a lot of them. They don't tell you about how in Haiti, Haiti whooped some of the best generals. Haiti been an independent country. They were not Alexander Great, but they were what his name, the little short guy with his hand, and what his name, keep his hand under his shirt. He was real short. But anyway, I'm going to thank it. Napoleon Bonaparte. They beat Napoleon. Sir. Napoleon supposed to have been a great general, but they defeated France. They defeated him. While he was supposed to have been such a great general, blacks with minuscule and not much arms were able to beat him with rakes and hoes until they beat people away from guns and get their freedom. And get then when the Spaniards came in, they beat the Spaniards. That's what people could do when you stick together. And that's why today we tell you about institutionalized racism. And that's why today Europeans and other whites from Europe and America don't really trade with them or so highly against them, because they cannot make them bow and be who they want them to be. They want to be their own independent nation. They're the only independent black nation out that took the independence back during that time and kept their independence. Most people didn't think that it was worth it for to go to battle with them. Because, and guess what? They remained and were Igbos. The Igbos. That's why they didn't want them in America. And that's why some of you are so radical right now, because you have that Igbo blood in you.
My.
That you're not going to be tamed, and you're not going to be somebody tested. And from so many different African nations, Ashantis and other ones, they were Angolans, they were warriors, and they would defend and fight. But I'm just glad that our people did take so much off of whites, because if not, we wouldn't be here today, because they would have been killed off. Like they did with the Now it's time for us to stand up and let our voice be heard, that we're nobody's slave, and that we're somebody, and that we're going to rise up above all our adversity. And that's what Amen. Jesus wants us to do. Thank you again. Sir. I want to just say thank you to Pastor, I want to thank you, Reverend Williams, for afforded me the opportunity to share some of the knowledge and some of the things that arose
And my thesis, when I wrote my thesis, was the African prevalence in the Holy Bible. And I wrote that many years ago. You know, matter of fact, I put it in 94. A lot of this information, I've been compiling information about this because I wanted to know why black, they didn't have any blacks in the Bible. How was that way? But then when I really found out, it was because I found out he writes the narrative, make it say what they want to say. And I found out that Whitehead had wrote so much of the movie until seeing is believing. And we began to believe that we didn't have a part because of what we saw on television, what Hollywood would do. Instead of getting blacks to play Cleopatra, they have a white lady play Cleopatra. Instead of having a beautiful young black lady to play her, they'll get some white lady to play her. And that's a misrepresentation. Sure. You play Enter the Dragon, you have a white guy that's correct, that's proficient in karate or something, instead of good living a China person from China or Japan, Korean, who's very, very proficient with martial arts. Again, I want to thank each and every one that's listening, and I pray that I said something or something I said open your eyes or that you learned something tonight. Let us bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, we thank the Lord God for this program. We thank the Lord God for this man of God who brings forth a program that we might learn, that we may learn of the Bible, that we may learn about inventions, that we may learn about programs that will help those who need. Have his talk that he talk about politics. He talk about the different things that our community needs. Continue to strengthen him, Lord. Build him a way he's torn out. Strengthen the way he's weak, Lord.
Yes.
And Lord, continue to give him that vision and that zeal that he have for his people and that he put on his shoulders every night. And he's not getting rich off one nickel off of it, but he's doing that for his people. And I pray that his people learn to beg him and pray for him and beg him and know that the love he have for them and the love that he mainly is the love for God that he have. Lord, bless him. Bless everyone that's listening, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord, that we will stand up. Strengthen us, Lord, that I don't care what color we are, we learn that God is no respecter of person. He don't care what color we are, how much money we have, where we live, what we drive, what job, what that we have behind our name. Is it PhD, THD, BS, MS, whatever. That does not matter.
Yes.
What mattered was in your heart. It was, as I pray, I think about Martin Luther King said that you don't judge a person by the color of the skin, but the content of that character, by the characters, who that person is, how they treat, do they have the love of God in their heart. And Lord, we need to have that love that permeates from one person to another, and that we don't have to wear a coat, but everybody will know you live within us by the way we live our lives, Lord. Bless us, Lord. Help us, Lord. We try to come up with some vaccine for COVID-19, Lord. Help us to come up with a cure. Give the knowledge and the wisdom, because all knowledge and wisdom come from you. And we know you say for everything has a season. Lord, we're in a season now, Lord, where we're going through COVID-19. And I know your words say, weeping might endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Morning is coming, and we're going to get rid of it. And we need to get rid of our president that does not care about us, only money. And your Bible said, Lord, your word said, for the love of money is the root of all kind of evil, and some men have drowned in the perdition. And that's why they're sending people, no matter how this virus has spiked, they're rushing people back to school and back to jobs, because it's all about money. It's not about the life that could be lost. So, Lord, the devaluing of life is what Satan does. Lord, we just love you, Lord.
We pray, Lord, yes, that you keep us, Lord. Forgive us if we've sinned any form of fashion. And give
yes.
us the love. And let this world become a place with the whole right rope. With the world needs my love, sweet love. That's the only thing that they're just too late.
Yes.
And Lord, after we've said and done everything we could do, we pray that you would see us and say, servant of God, well done. And into the kingdom of glory. God bless you. And keep you as my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Dr. Kemp. Thank you for a powerful show. Check Dr. Kemp out every Tuesday evening right here at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time on YAT Radio. You can get involved in the conversation at 858-357-9137 or live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio. This show will be uploaded to the Young Adults Talk Facebook page and my personal Facebook page, and it'll be available for you to download right here on Blog Talk Radio. So we'll see you tomorrow evening, 8 p.m. Central Standard Time, with the men and women of God coming together to discuss issues that are going on in our world and all around our communities. So until then, you be blessed, stay safe, and Dr. Kemp, tell them your favorite line, sir.
I love you, and you can't do nothing about it.
Amen. We love you, sir. Have everybody be safe out there. Be blessed. We'll see you tomorrow night. Okay. Good night, everybody.
Okay. Good night.
Oh, my people, I love you. We're a family. Yeah, you and me. Hey, we'll make through it all. No matter what the cost, we're a family. Yeah, you and me. Hey, we'll make it through the pain, the rain, and all the trouble by ourselves. People, I love you.
I love you.
We are dying.
We are dying.
They are lying. Hey. We're being shot and haunted. Why you hating me? I'm just trying to be.
I'm
just trying to be. Ladies like me.
Great like me.
Grow with one another. Living happily.
Living happily.
But you hurting me.
What
hey.
You hurting me?
Work for peace.
Why work for peace?
I am from Zion. I am a king. And you're a queen. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're a family. Yeah, you and me. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering by ourselves. People, I love you.
I love you.
Why are we hurting?
Why are we hurting?
Not yet loving.
Not yet loving.
Not yet willing.
Why
to love the world? Can you feel the grace,
can
family?
You feel the grace,
breathe
family.
Another day.
Breathe another day.
Take for granted that y'all gave us all new life. But we need to learn to love each other.
Humanity.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful word to say.
Have a peaceful place for kids to run. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through it all. No matter what the cost, we're family. Yeah, you and me, hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the trouble by ourselves.
People, I love you.
My people, I love you. I love you, my people. I love
my
you, my
people.
I feel your pain, people. I feel your pain, people. We're family.
Wow, wow.
Yeah, you and me. Hey. We'll make it through the pain and rain and all the suffering while I say, oh,
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
in Chains, the special assignment, 7 p.m. Central, a show to feature individuals, businesses, organizations, and ministries about what they're doing for the community. Tuesday, Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp, a show designed to learn about our history as a people. Every Tuesday, 7 p.m. Wednesday, Breaking Chains with the men and women of God, discussing the issues of our community and world events. Every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Central. Thursday, Breaking Chains with the men of valor, brotherhood, coming together to discuss issues that need to be addressed and confronted. Every Thursday, Breaking Chains, a talk show for the people to express themselves and let their voices be heard. Breaking Chains, call in and let your voice be heard at 858-357-9137 or live stream at www.blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio, YAT Radio, or send us an email at youngadultstalk@gmail.com. It's Breaking Chains on YAT Radio. Young Adults Talk is Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains. Breaking Chains.
You've been listening to History Talk on Breaking Chains with Dr. Lavert Kemp. Thank you for listening, and tune in next week to learn more of who you are. Breaking Chains History Talk with Dr. Lavert Kemp, leaving a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.